Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chasing Big Joe live today from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, our home away from home, every Thursday starting today. Hope you're having an awesome start to your day. We have so much to get into. A packed show, stacked and packed, as the kids say. Joe, what's up? Ricky says that, so, you know. He is.
Is the National Football League Draft 2024. My goodness, let's get it going on.
Say the nice things about Todd again. Your mic wasn't on. Sorry. Oh, that's my bad.
Was it not on?
No, that's okay. My fault.
All right. That's all right. No, it's a fun morning. Listen, we're back at the Omni Nashville Hotel, the place where we belong. Every Thursday we'll be down here. Thanks to our good friend, Music City Todd Rodermel, who is just one of the finest, most genuine individuals you ever come across. Anyway, at the Omni, it's the best-smelling hotel in Nashville. I'm telling you this right now. It's the best-smelling hotel. We're live in Kitchen Notes, great food, great ambiance, great atmosphere. So every Thursday, we're here. Come down, say hi, have Kitchen Notes, and be part of the team, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Come check it all out. We love being down here. And, again, thanks to Todd Rodermel and his crew for having us here.
I feel you've got so many wires and so many boards and so many screens. I feel like you work for NASA.
Well, you know, I
how's
had to
that
make
eclipse
sure,
coming Monday?
I guess it'll be good. I, you know, had to make sure we were all good to go here.
So. We are. And then I led into 3 weeks from the night, the National Football League draft. Let's get it going on. And
I know. I'm ready. I'm tired of, like a lot of people, I'm tired of talking mocks and things like that. It's now I'm ready to see what's going to happen with the Titans and with the rest of the NFL and, you know, where these guys are going to go. And, you know, what's funny is we go through this every year, but especially on years where there's a little hype with the Titans and because they've been busy in the offseason,
right.
You know, so yeah. We're, you know, talking about them quite a bit. And also it's like, okay, well, could it be Joe Alt? Could it be Roma Dunze? Could it be Malik Nabers?
Right.
Could it be, you know, this guy or that guy or whatever? And you kind of get – you learn about all these guys and then – when they end up taking, you know, Ed McCracken out of Nebraska that you've never heard of.
I know his brother really well. That I'm not going to say. No, but I go back to the NFL draft with the Titans. I go back to 96, right? 95, they drafted McNair. We did not know they were coming here. So we started paying attention in 96. They drafted Eddie George. They moved here in 97. Do you remember who the Oilers took in 97 when they first came here the first year? He held out for 2 days. And it was like, why are you holding out, man? Do you remember who it was?
Was it Dyson was the second round.
Dyson was 98.
Or 98.
This was 97.
I don't remember.
Kenny Holmes. From Miami. So you started to pay attention to the draft. Besides the Mariota in 2015, I don't recall this much angst slash hype slash optimism going into the draft.
I think there was a little bit of it last year because they had 11. And you weren't sure, you know, there were all these rumors that, oh, the Titans are going to try and move up and, you know, get Stroud or take a quarterback or whatever. So I think there was some of that. But I think there's that sense of, in some ways, maybe it's false optimism when it comes to the team now of, hey, you know, I think we can all agree the AFC South is no longer the laughingstock of the league. Like,
no,
they're gonna,
not
it's going to be a much better division.
Correct.
And so I think there is. Again, I would call it a cautious sense of optimism that, hey, the Titans aren't going to be as bad as everybody thought. They can get in there and compete. You know, they've been very active in the offseason. They just got to fill a few more holes and they'll be good. We know that it's not as simple as that.
Correct. Yeah.
It's more than just, okay, yeah, you're not going to be able to just fix everything in one offseason in the draft. Do I think they're going to be better? Sure. You know, could they potentially compete to make the playoffs? Never know.
That's the goal, man.
You know, so
yeah,
I think that's what it is.
Well, 2016, remember they had the number one pick in the draft. They traded out. They got Conklin that year. I think they came in at number eight. So the excitement, angst, opportunity was kind of put back because of that. And then, you know, in 17, they had two picks at 5 and 17. It took Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson, who I still think, you know, another injured player that John Robinson took at 5. Corey Davis was okay had he been drafted in the 6th round. But as a first rounder,
I would even say,
nah.
I would say the production you got out of him here was probably that of a late second, mid-third, you know, to mid-third round. He was almost a 1,000-yard receiver.
Well, so were you at one time.
That's actually not true.
And then 18 was a disaster with Rashawn Evans. Well, a disaster.
Yeah, I mean, one good.
And then 19, you hit a home run. I mean, you get A.J. Brown and Jeffrey Simmons, and then 20 and 21 and 22. With that being said, I mean, you go back now, a lot of optimism with the number 7 pick. It's pretty simple who you get, but then – you know, as they say in war, nothing ever goes according to plan. And on that Thursday night, it's not going to go according to – it's not going to go like we think it is.
No.
It's not.
And I
Harbaugh's going to screw
about.
Something up. The Cardinals are going to screw something up. Somebody's going to trade up into the top 5 and bounce everything. And, yeah, if they stay where they are, I'll take Joe Walt. But as Teron said yesterday, you know, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is sitting there at number 7
– if Malik Nabers is sitting there, I mean, you've got to think about it at least.
Yeah. Goodness, man. Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be in the shoes of Rand Carthon.
Like, here's my question. Again, and we're going to play the scenario over and over and over and over again. If they take Joe Alt, nobody that knows anything is going to go, what are you doing? That's a terrible pick. You should be fired. Because you just got a left tackle that can be your left tackle and be the anchor on your offensive line for the next 10 years.
Correct.
If he stays healthy.
Right.
Right? You have that. You know, so I would – like, nobody would bat an eye there, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd be happy to go. Yeah.
But what if they have Malik Nabers ranked higher on their board and they think this guy is the next insert great receiver name here, and they take him, and then 5 years from now the story is he's all pro – he's the best receiver in the league. He's wanting a new contract. And the Titans have that guy. And maybe this time they'll actually pay the top wide receiver in
right.
the league.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody's going to be happy with either scenario.
I think so, too. Also, you got with your Callahan said, I want touchdowns. If the opportunity compares, yeah. I want touchdowns more than anything else.
Right. So
that's what happens.
We are, as we mentioned, here at the Omni Nashville Hotel, where we're going to be every Thursday. This is our first one. We're very excited about that. Our man Todd Rodemel is here. Todd, you know, I gotta just completely admit this and be honest. I've known you for a very long time. What is your title exactly?
I am Area Director of Sales and Marketing.
Okay. You're just the guy that gets stuff done around here is how I view it. Because whenever I have a question with anything with the Omni, somebody either right. tells me to go to Todd or I say, hey, where's Todd?
Well, you know, we're fortunate with Cromwell and, you know, of course, our guy Bud and Jeff and – you know, Jeff and Bud came knocking on our door before the hotel even opened like 11 and a half years ago.
Yeah.
And we've had this partnership ever since. And I was excited when I ran into Joe in the lobby a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we got this deal done and we're excited to have you guys here.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And starting Monday, the Chasing Big Joe show presented by Omni Nashville Hotel. So
yes.
So we got that going, which will be fantastic. But it's been a minute since we've been here. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Kitchen Notes is a go-to. I mean, you can come have breakfast here. I mean, I've had dinners here. I mean, special occasions. But the Omni has so many great things to offer.
You know, we do. Kitchen Notes, obviously, breakfast, lunch, brunch on the weekends, buffet breakfast every day. And, you know, Bob's Steak and Chop House, Wine Spectating
Bob's.
Award winner for 8 years in a row. And then, of course, Bar Lines. Honky Tonk, big place to go hang out before and after Preds games. And we can never forget about Mokara Spa either for that special someone in your life. We've got Mother's Day, so we need to.
Well, I think Joe just needs to buy me a massage.
I'm going to. I'll just give you one during the break.
Well, I don't know about that.
Why don't you guys get the couple's massage room?
We could do that. When are you not busy? You had the country radio seminar last month. I mean, I came down here for a Preds game, and this place was packed. And then you tell me, yeah, they're moving out, and other big events coming in there. But busy's good because we went through 4 years ago when nobody was down there. So we talked about this, Todd, how now you're grateful for every moment, every person who walks in this building.
I mean, 4 years ago, our hotel was closed. The lights were off. You know, we went from 600 employees to 28 employees. Gosh. It was the darkest time of, I guess, our career, our life that we can remember. And so, yes, I'm thankful for this business in Nashville because of what Dina and the CVC has done to market this place internationally and domestically. That, you know what, yes, keep it coming. Give us all the business. I never want to go through that again in my life.
I remember I'd called you one day, and you called me back. You said, I'm sorry. Were you doing housekeeping duties or you were folding sheets? You were doing something that day because you had to, everybody, and it was like, hey, we got to keep it going. I was like, God bless you, Todd.
We did everything. I mean, I was checking people in. I was a bellman. I was a bus boy. I was helping in the kitchen. I was, you know, helping clean rooms, folding. I mean, we did what we had to do to, you know, try to keep our doors open and make it through it. And, you know, our old GM, you remember Dan Piotrowski?
Yeah.
Dan Piotrowski, his word or his phrase was champions overcome adversity. And we always thought that, and we worked harder and faster and stronger, and we're back.
I love it. We also, this city is vibrant down here when the Preds are doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You see it every single day.
You know, you can feel it when as the Preds go, is you like you said, Joe, you can feel the electricity. Like when we had the NHL All-Star game, when we, you know, made it to the finals, just downtown is absolutely electric. And, you know, the boys had a, you know, couple tough games here, but goodness gracious, 17 games in a row with a point.
Yeah,
fantastic. I mean, it's, you can feel it downtown.
Yeah, no doubt. And hopefully there will be a lot to feel downtown with the Predators coming up with a playoff run. Todd, we love being here. Thanks so much for having us. And Joe is on meal number one. I'm sure he'll get to six before the show is over. And I'll
do
get
we have is the well. Is the oatmeal still over there?
Yes.
Oh my goodness, chase the oatmeal. You can't have it till 11 because I need you during the show.
Okay. But all right. Well, you go test it and make sure.
No,
it's
I
good.
Can't. Yeah. I have to wait till 11. It's that good.
Todd, appreciate it.
Thank you. Welcome back.
Yeah, good to be here. Todd Rodemel joining us here from the Omni Nashville, where we will be every Thursday. We'll continue the discussion on the draft and much more. But again, we have a huge show. Greg Wyshynski going to join us. We'll get into the Predators and the NHL with him at 9:30. Howard Johnson, former Mets infielder.
During the World
third
Series.
Third baseman, second baseman. Hojo for Mets fans. I know TD and Willie probably are doing backflips right now, excited. He'll join us at 10 o'clock. WWE two-time Hall of Famer, WrestleMania is this weekend. People have been asking if we're going to talk some wrestling. Booker T going to join us at 10:30.
How is he a two-time Hall of Famer?
He isn't on his own as Booker T. And he is in with his tag team partner, Stevie Ray, from the tag team Harlem Heat.
You tweeted that out last night, and I checked my Twitter about an hour later. So many retweets on Booker T.
He retweeted it.
Which
certainly helped, for sure. So looking forward to Booker T.
Yeah!
And Howard Johnson, Hojo, Greg Wyshynski, everybody. We're live today at Kitchen Notes at the Nashville Omni Hotel. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe live today at the Nashville Omni Hotel, or the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Excited to be here. We'll be here every Thursday and tell you more about that. Greg Wyshynski going to join us in about 15 minutes, but discussing the Titans and the draft. Is this the most hyped? I'm just curious of everyone. Is this the most hype you felt pre-draft, post-free agency, you know, big wave, about this team in a while?
I think it is. Because the optimism is, when's the last time they had a position of critical need and they had the right person to draft, right?
Right.
So they know they need a left tackle. They've got the premier left tackle. By all accounts, it's going to be sitting there waiting for them at number seven. When's the last time that happened? I mean, in 19, they needed Jeffrey Simmons, but it wasn't critical. A.J. Brown in the second round needed a receiver. It wasn't critical. Now they have a critical need, and they have the right guy to plug in. And I think that's what people are like, all right, we spent money. Talk about Titans fans, not we and us. We spent money. We're good to go. We got a quarterback we're excited about. You know, we got this great running back, and now we've added some pieces. Let's go forward and do this. So I think the optimism is there to plug in it, because I'm trying to think going back. I know there's an instant, you know, 15 with Mariota. They needed a quarterback because Mettenberger was awful, and Charlie Whitehurst never lived up to his hype. And so you're kind of excited about that. And then, you know, Mariota had some – was decent, but not good.
I mean, he had some flashes, but yeah. He didn't live up to what everybody hoped he was going to live up to.
Man, you got in trouble. Yeah, I'd say I got in massive trouble for what I did with Mariota. You got a lot of backlash for what you did.
I got ratioed like no other.
Peter Jacobson tweeted me and called me trash.
Oh, wow.
Over a damn joke.
Yeah.
And then so yours was hilarious.
I got
go ahead and say it.
I got unfollowed by a member of the organization. I'll just put it that way.
So did I. Same person.
Yep.
And I think it's right. If you can't take a joke, what was your Mariota joke? And it's a joke.
Right. So, and again, this is the problem with Twitter, because you don't, like, if you send multiple tweets, you don't always see the previous one. You just focus on the one. So
yeah, right.
I was standing by the tunnel, and it was Ryan Tannehill's first start at home. And I had tweeted a picture of Tannehill running out of the tunnel. He's got his, you know, he's pointing at the sky. And I tweeted out, Ryan Tannehill is ready to go. And the next picture was Mariota, who's running out behind him. And it was a good picture. So I'm like, all right, I got to do something with this. And I want to have some fun.
Right.
And I said, and Marcus Mariota is ready, ... to put on his hand warmers because it's cold.
Yes.
Which, look, even if you're starting, you could wear hand warmers. So I put that out and just got destroyed.
It took off like a rocket ship.
Destroyed. And look, looking back on it, it's still funny. Maybe should I have done – like, I remember another media member that kind of likes to troll, looks at me and goes, look, it's funny. I don't know if it was really necessary, but it was funny.
Was that Rex Road?
No.
Okay.
Andrew. His name is Andrew.
Okay.
Yeah. But look, it is what it is. But even to this day, like, Mariota slander is just not allowed. So
I lied. Mine was the Thanksgiving. I did a thing on Channel 4 where we deep fried a turkey, and they're like, we need a name of that turkey. I said, well, the turkey is done. Let's call it Marcus. And he had already been benched. And so it just, you know, people were laughing, and then it was a joke. And then when Peter Jacobson comes, and I wanted to tweet back to him, like, do you even know Marcus's stats? Do you even? I mean, it was just, I don't know.
So the actor Peter Jacobson, like from
the golfer.
Oh, the golfer. Okay.
Who's the actor?
He was on House, and
I don't know that guy. Yeah. No, this was the golfer, and I, you know, and I did tweet back to him. I said, "Did you go and take up for Tiger Woods and we went through all of his stuff?"
Hey,
you know,
it's a fair
laugh.
Fair, right.
Just laugh. That was it, and so. Remember my boss came to Channel 4 and was like, we need to. I said, it was a joke. I'm sorry. Well, you need to apologize. I'm not apologizing.
I swear, our buddy Ricky, like, it's his favorite moment with me because of the backlash. He, like, anytime you mention that tweet, he's got it on the ready. He's got it.
Oh, man.
He's got it ready to go. But again, 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. Do you feel like this is – excited. I don't know. What is the adjective to describe how you feel right now going into this draft? Because you've heard me say it, and I get what organization I'm talking about. I understand it's the draft, and a lot of things can happen. But I truly feel like this seventh pick, whatever they do, I find it really difficult to screw up. You know, whether if they take Joe Alt, I'm happy. If they take Malik Nabers, I'm happy. If they trade back and get more draft capital, I'm happy. You know, hopefully they still get a left tackle. I mean, there's people now that are saying, well, Alt, you know, they could trade back to 11 and Alt could still be there. Well, maybe. Depends on what everybody in front of him does. I don't think he will be.
Yeah, I just think, you know, the Vikings kind of scare me, what they want to do and move up. And there's always that one other team that moves up that's like, oh, I didn't see that team coming. So be prepared for chaos. And the Titans still might just say, you know what, we're going to move down and get draft cap. I always hate that. Swallow up draft capital. Get the sure thing.
Yeah.
Get the sure thing. How many times have we seen third and fourth rounders? Well, we got 13 picks. I don't care.
Right.
Are they going to play? Are they going to start on day one? I mean, this player has got to start. Your first round pick should start on day one. That's it. You should start on day one and be good to go. If you draft a guy that's not going to start on day one, don't draft him in the first round.
Right.
It's the bottom line.
I agree. 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland wants to weigh in on our conversation. Adam, what's up?
Hey, Jason. So I've thought about it, and I've went back and forth on that. I don't know if you're like me or if you've just been locked in the whole time. I don't really care who they pick at this point because I feel like the boring pick, you're going to pick a lineman. And, like, that's not something anybody's going to be looking at tape and getting excited about. But at the same time, like, the most important need is a good left tackle. Like, that's obviously the most important pick. So I don't really care, dude. Like, I'm doing mocks, and I don't know – unless you traded back, I don't know any other pick for the Titans there except Joel. Like, if you could trade back and somehow – I mean, somebody had said get both of Minnesota's picks. I don't think that's going to happen. Like, that's not fair to Minnesota, is it? Like, for number seven to give up
– Yeah, well, I mean – You don't care. You shouldn't care about what's fair to Minnesota. I mean,
right?
Oops. If you're Rant Carthon, you go in there and you do what's fair for you.
But I don't think they would do that, though. That's what I'm saying. I think it's kind of a boneheaded defense. But I think a great pick with them would be to just solidify the big need. Like, it's not exciting, but just get the need out of the way.
Sure. Thanks for the call, Adam.
That's
how you feel. And look, I'm
right.
I'm fine with it, but I'm kind of more or less. I'm good with option A, I'm good with option B, I'm good with option C. Like, I feel like there's so many needs, and we won't revisit what we did the other day, but, you know, with receiver, they've addressed it, they still need to address it in the draft.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going to let off of that. Now, I'm totally fine not doing it at 7. If you feel like that, you can pass on Adunze or Neighbors and feel good with that, and you take all – you have filled a big need, and you can get one at 38 or later on in the draft, then I'm cool with it. But you still have to address it.
Well, I default – I got my opinion, but I always default back to Teron about – I mean, he knows quite a bit about, you know, the draft, his team, and the players, and, you know, he's telling me Joe Alt. And so I'm just – that just reassures me what I need. But I think your first – or your 7 and your 38 – have to be starters this year.
Yeah,
I agree with that. If you get a Joe Walt, great. At 38, and I don't know the defensive linemen are out there, but if you can find one out there that fits your need, you can plug in there, boom, you got the guy. I go back to, was it 09 when they drafted Kenny Britt and Cedric Marks, two guys that started. You can say what you want about Britt. Britt was a hell of a talent. He was a knucklehead. And Cedric Marks came in and started on the line because they had lost Van de Bosch. Kearse had been gone. And say they plugged those two guys in. It was great. So I think if you get the 7, get Alt at 38, get a defensive lineman, let him start in day one, you feel much better about this football team after the first and second round going forward.
Yeah, 100%. 615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, we're live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes. Coming up next, Predators back in action tonight. They host the St. Louis Blues at Bridgestone Arena. We'll talk to our man Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, get his thoughts on the Predators, the rest of the NHL, including the brawl that happened last night between the Rangers and the Devils. I wonder if he was at it. We will discuss that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Chasing Big Joe live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Notes, 102.5, 106.3 the game. As we do every Thursday at 9:30, we say hello to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN, senior NHL writer for them, presented by ESPN Bet. And Greg, I hope you were at the Garden last night.
I was not at the Garden last night. I was there for the previous one where they tried to get Matt Rempe to fight, and he wouldn't because it was at a time when he had been fighting like everybody, and then the Rangers told him not to fight. So then the Devils, of course, called him a coward. And then, you know, last night we all saw what happened at the top of the game. I'll say this. I'm in the minority on this amongst other Devils fans. I thought that was an embarrassment for the Devils last night. Like, I have no problem with them trying to square things with Matt Rempe after what he's done against that team and their previous meetings. you know, injuring players and whatnot. Like, that's fine by me. What we saw at the beginning of the game last night is, look, I have a newborn daughter. I know what a full diaper looks like. That was a full diaper moment for the Devils. They blew their season by blowing a lead against the Penguins the night before. They had a lane to make the playoffs, and they absolutely crashed the car. It was just this moment of petulance and trying to, like, you know, pop the fans one last time in a season that's been an abject disaster. It was one of those moments where it's like, congratulations, you bloodied Matt Rempe. Put up a banner. It's the only one you're going to get this year.
Let me ask this, Greg. I mean, so that was no – I mean, is that talked about before the game that's going to happen? Does everybody know that's going to happen? Do both teams know that's going to happen?
There's a bit of confusion as to exactly how it went down, because both coaches last night, Peter Laviolette for the Rangers and Travis Green for the Devils, both kind of feigned responsibility for it. So, like, the Devils clearly put out a lineup that is out there for a fight, and the Rangers responded in kind with Rempe and some others. Obviously, if you really want to get granular about it, would the Rangers have their top, their second best defensive pairing out there if they know everybody's just going to fight? Maybe not, but both teams were kind of coy about who started it. But let's be honest, you've got one team that basically called out Rempe and the Rangers after their last meeting to say that the vengeance was incomplete and that the story's not finished yet, and then you get a line brawl at the start of the game.
Okay, Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, Matt Rempe, Roman Reigns, obviously a parallel there in their careers.
I know Gary Bettman probably woke up this morning thinking, oh, my goodness. I got to tell you, Greg, at my gym this morning, that fight, that's all everybody was talking about. I mean, NHL was on the front page and the front minds of people late last night and this morning. They wake up. Is this good for hockey as we head into the playoffs, or are they like, not so good?
Of course. Listen, there's always going to be a reaction from some people that look at what happened last night and say, this is the reason why hockey will never grow out of its niche in the United States. And then there are people like you who correctly say, this is the thing that got people talking about hockey, right? I think as long as the NHL is in a place where this doesn't happen every week, where it's not a situation where people are talking about a catastrophic injury, you know, the NHL, fighting's still legal. I mean, fighting has always been legal under Gary Bettman. I think they knew that gradually, because of changes to rules, the way teams are made up, down in the minor leagues and stuff about fighting, like, they knew it was going to subside a little bit, but it's always been legal. There's always been a winking acceptance of it. And frankly, national television, first 2 seconds of a game, that kind of thing happens. It gets people talking about hockey.
We're talking to Greg Wyshynski. We love talking about hockey from ESPN here on the Chasing Big Joe show. So the Predators have now dropped 3 in a row, and, you know, we've been talking about it. Roman Josi was on our show yesterday that you look at Tuesday night's game against Boston, that one really stings because the Predators did play well. They played good enough that, you know, had they scored on the power play, they'd probably win that game. But Boston, you know, was able to score shorthanded, and that ultimately was all they needed to do to skate away with that. Now you fast forward to tonight against St. Louis. This is the epitome of a playoff-type atmosphere with the Blues still having a chance to get into the playoffs. How do you view this one tonight?
Yeah, I think if you're the Predators, you want to start to kind of rebuild the momentum because, I do think that there's probably a legitimate concern around the team right now that they've peaked too early. You know, you roll like they did after the Vegas thing and get yourself into a playoff spot and play the best, you know, like have like the second or third best record in the league after like February 1st. It's hard to maintain that momentum, but you certainly want to at least get 75% of it back before the playoffs hit to really start playing good hockey again. So, you know, every team is kind of stressing this is a big test for us. I was talking to some people in Edmonton yesterday. You're like, this Dallas game is a big test for us last night. They failed spectacular. They might get held back a grade with the way they played in Dallas last night if that was a big test. But I do think for the Predators against the Blues, it's a good test. Like, show us that you've got the ability to play the kind of hockey that you've played for weeks on end against a team that's going to be very hungry. And then you can kind of just start rebuilding a little bit of that momentum as we get closer to the postseason starting.
Greg, Andrew Burnett was on our morning show and was talking about the game tonight and said, and I love this word always comes up in late March and April, desperation. And Andrew Burnett said, we need to be as desperate as the St. Louis Blues are tonight. Is that a good way for the Preds to approach this game?
It is, and I think it's something that a lot of coaches are dealing with. You know, the situation in Philadelphia with the Flyers right now and John Tortorella really calling out his team. I thought he had a really good point yesterday in his rant, which is that this team has played well enough to get to within playoff position, but they don't know how much better they have to play to actually make the playoffs. So I thought that was a really astute point. Like, it's almost like, you know, they looked at the probabilities of them being a playoff team and said, all right, we're in, without really understanding that you got to close the deal. And I think a lot of coaches, Brunette included, are probably preaching that to their players. Look, you know, things are looking good. Things are looking great. But when, you know, to close out this thing and then also when the playoffs start, we've got to be better than we've ever been. And I think that's a really good message for teams at this point in the season.
I was looking at in the Western Conference in the Central Division. I mean, the Dallas Stars, I mean, they 8 in a row of rolling. So are we now seeing these teams to start picking up? I mean, is that important with the Preds tonight? Need to stop this 3-game slide and kind of turn the table, because you see teams like Dallas that are making that momentum push as we head into the playoffs?
Yeah. You don't want to have to play them, that's for sure. But you might be stuck playing them based on how the standings are going right now. Dallas is, I heard somebody say, scary. They're very scary. I mean, like, they were the bridesmaid in the conference last year, played really well. As a couple things break the right way, they're probably playing for the Stanley Cup last year. They're better than that team, you know, with the acquisition of Chris Tanev at the trade deadline, with some of their younger players contributing. They've got maybe one of the deepest forward groups in the league, with every line able to do some damage. And then the really scary part is that the only flaw in their game throughout the season has been that Jake Oettinger, their star goalie, hadn't been playing up to his old standards. Well, he's been one of the best goalies in the league in, like, his last, you know, 5 or 6 starts. So if he's going and the rest of this team is going, they are a very formidable bunch in the Western Conference.
Greg Wyshynski is with us. Yeah, Dallas is, I think as the kids say, a wagon, the best way to put it.
No, without question. I actually literally tweeted a picture of a wagon yesterday after the game.
I was setting you up for that. That was perfect. I want to get real quick your opinion. I know you're a wrestling guy. Does Cody Rhodes, in fact, finish the story this weekend at WrestleMania?
I think if he doesn't finish the story, there's a very good chance that people in Philadelphia will grab their torches and march on WWE headquarters in Connecticut. It's gotten to the point where if it doesn't happen, I don't even know what the reaction is going to be. It's either going to be abject anger or maybe even apathy, because they've just stretched this thing out too long. The real intrigue is what happens next with the bloodline. You know, clearly they screwed up the whole thing with The Rock and Roman, thinking that people wanted that when in fact they wanted Cody to finish the story. But that doesn't mean that people don't want Rock and Roman, which means that, you know, after whatever happens in that title match with Cody, they're going to have to pivot to the next thing. And I think we all assume the next thing is going to be that The Rock takes over the bloodline, which will probably carry us to a match between those two at the next WrestleMania. So a lot of intrigue, a lot of pieces moving. I don't know, man. Those matches will be fun, but give me Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley. That's the match I'm most looking forward to maybe at WrestleMania, because that's going to be an absolute banger.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Booker T going to join us in about 45 minutes, so looking forward to that.
Oh, my God, the king of the spinneroonie.
Exactly.
By the way, Greg, it's National Hug and News Person Day, so we'd like to give you a big old hug from Nashville, okay?
Well, I appreciate that you think I'm a news person.
Well, we're all in the news. You're in the news, so whether you work sports or news, you're one of those.
Some people may say that I'm in the media rather than being a news person, but I'll take it.
You got it, buddy.
Appreciate it, Greg. As always, we'll talk next week.
Take care.
See ya. Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer at ESPN, presented by ESPN Bet, joins us every Thursday at 9:30, and a man of many talents. Covers the NHL, loves wrestling, all those things.
And hugs.
and hugs. Do we have a question of the day? Did you come up with one, or is it more of the how you feel with the Titans draft?
Because it's 3 weeks from the day.
Yeah, we do have a lot of responses on that, so we'll get to some of those coming up next. What is your feeling now with the Titans going into the draft 3 weeks from today? 615-737-1025. We're at the Omni Nashville Hotel today at Kitchen Oats, but our man Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, is at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan. Today is Vanderbilt baseball takes on LSU with pregame at 5:45. The first pitch at 6. Vanderbilt baseball is brought to you by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. Chase and Big Joe live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Kitchen Oats. Joe, you're on, meal three?
I am on meal plan three, Chase.
Okay, meal plan three.
We
got the buffet going here.
Oh, that's packed out there.
It's awesome.
The food is so good. So it's the temptation of not getting up and wandering off during the show to start eating. So.
What's funny, this is one of those places that, like, they have a fabulous menu with lots to choose from. But whenever we come here, I just go through the buffet that I realize, like, I've never even looked at the menu. I have looked at the menu, but, like, it's – I don't remember because I always go through the buffet.
Earlier, you're like, the waitress is like, can I help you? Like, yeah, I'd like a menu. I'm like, me for what? I mean, there's the best buffet in town sitting out there. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Howard Johnson, Hojo from the New York Mets is going to join us.
I totally forgot he was a hitting coach with the Sounds, too, for a year.
Yeah, and his son is the head coach at FRA, your alma mater.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
We're all connected, pal. So I'm over the moon excited because this is my generation, right? You know, it'd be like you having Chipper Jones on.
Yeah.
I mean, so I'm really excited about this.
Which I'm now going to try and make up.
And I'm thinking, you know, last night I was like, you know, we've had this discussion before, but if you get that one guest, I said, you can get any guest you want to today. Who would you get? Cause I'm so excited about Howard Johnson coming on.
This just for you, like for me?
For Chase McCabe.
Ooh. Chipper's up there because I've never interviewed Chipper. Like, the first time I got to interview Tom Glavine was with Pogue, I think. I was giddy, like, because it was Tom Glavine.
Right.
I've interviewed Dale Jr. You know, Dale Jr. would have been up there.
It's not an easy question.
No, it's a good question.
Mine is Joe Namath. I would love – because I've told you, I think he's one of the Super Bowl era, probably one of two the most important people. Him and Jim Brown. Although Jim Brown was before Super Bowl, I get that. But as far as impact in us, and Namath is up there.
I'm gonna go wrestling.
Okay.
Triple H, Paul Levesque, who's basically running things now, because he's gone from being a jobber wrestler to being a Hall of Fame wrestler to now running the whole company.
Wow.
You know.
Isn't he married to one of them?
He's married to Stephanie McMahon.
Okay.
But, like, I kind of look at the parallels of, you know, he started at the bottom. I started at the bottom here at the station and worked my way up. So,
please, if you get him on, please tell him that story.
I will. And that I've always used the game as, like, my, you know, which is his
right
thing.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, good. What's his real name?
Paul Levesque.
Okay. Yep.
So, Triple H.
Yeah.
Hurst Helmsley.
Remember when – was it The Rock that hosted SNL like 20 years ago and they all showed
up? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Big so, show and him and everybody.
Yeah. So The Rock and Roman Reigns were on The Tonight Show last night with Jimmy Fallon. And I did check some of it out. I haven't watched The Tonight Show in years.
Right.
Even though I think Fallon is probably of all the late night people the funniest.
Yeah.
You know, Colbert, I'm over, like,
he's terrible.
Too political.
Terrible.
But
Jimmy Kimmel, terrible.
Yeah, but Fallon, and I like, I'm blanking, Taylor Tomlinson that just started her show. She's pretty funny. I've watched a lot of her stand-up specials, so she's
have
pretty
to
funny.
Check her out.
Yeah, you would, yeah, you'd like her. They were on last night, and The Rock is just... He's just one of those guys that's just so talented. Like, he can play any role.
Well, thank you.
Like you. You know, he can be a good guy, a bad guy, whatever.
Yeah.
And just knows what he's doing. Booker T going to join us at 10:30, and I will certainly bring that up with him.
Well, I told you. You know, did you see the thing where the guy got the tattoo? When his, so Rock had a meet and greet last week, and a guy said, if I meet you, I'm going to get a tattoo on my arm. The guy put a tattoo on his arm. So the Rock says, oh, my God, you did it. Enjoy WrestleMania. So the Rock's going to fly this guy.
Yeah, he
family.
Took care of his hotel, everything.
And it was on social media, a big deal yesterday, and I just said, you know, that's what McGavick football players do. We take care of people. We help people out.
The thing about that is, like, when I see stories like that, and, like, you see stories all the time of Shaq just walking into a Best Buy, and he'll buy, like, a computer for a mom or something, you know. I hope if I am ever blessed enough to have that kind of wealth, like, that is the kind of stuff I would do.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you asked the – what would you do with the $1 billion? Did anybody win last night?
No.
Okay. So what would you do with the $1 billion? Like, I would do stuff like that.
Oh, all the time.
Because it just, it's, yes, there is that. It makes you feel good, but it's like,
oh, yeah.
You're doing right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and The Rock has been, he, another one that he's done before is, and it was on social media, he went to this event and there was a soldier there that had done like 3 or 4 tours in Iraq and, you know, and just one of the just badasses that just, you know, protecting our country, and had gotten back and everything, and his car broke down. Didn't have money to buy a car. So The Rock pulls up in his truck, and The Rock's got this big jacked up, you know, just truck that's got every bell and whistle you can imagine. And he's talking to the guy, and it's at like some appreciation day, and he's kind of hearing his story and stuff, and he's like, yeah, you know, we're kind of going through it right now, but we're going to get there. And Rock looks at him and it throws him the keys. And he goes, well, I hope this helps. And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, that's your truck now.
Wow.
And turns around and walks off.
Oh, man.
And it's that's like, cool. You know, it's just that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I like the one where Shaq was in a jewelry store and this guy was had his hunched over a counter. He's writing a bunch of stuff down. And the guy didn't realize Shaq was behind him. And I guess Shaq says, what are you doing? And the guy says, well, I'm working out a payment plan to pay off this engagement ring. I want to marry this girl. And then Shaq puts his American Express right in front of him and says, man, don't worry about it. The guy looks up and is like, oh, my God. And Shaq's like, yep, here you go.
I got it.
Yep. And then they captured it on the security camera. And Shaq's like, I don't want to talk about it. Just, you know, and bought the rounds, like, that's really cool.
So he's told a similar story that because he's, you know, he does this stuff.
Right.
That one time he did it and American Express thought his card had been stolen. And so it didn't it declined
him?
It.
Oh, God.
And he had to like call and everything. I just had like 10 grand in my pocket, so I just pulled it.
Well, he was in town last Friday at some DJ event that he was doing.
I know.
Fifth and Broad.
He would be fun to have on the show.
Oh, my God.
And I feel like he's one of those guys that if you just know how to get to him, he would do it.
Do you see the inside the NBA or what's the NBA show, him and Barkley and all them?
Yeah, inside
somebody the NBA. Was. They had a reporter on site, and the guy's like, hey, Shaq, by the way, guess who was asking about you? And Shaq's like, well, who? And the guy's like, nobody. And then he did this whole, like, 5-minute, the show just spiraled out of control. And it was hilarious, but his reaction, I mean, a lot of, we work a lot of media people who would have taken umbrage at that. Like,
oh, yeah.
How dare you make fun of me on the air? And Shaq just rolled with it, and it was 5 minutes of just pure hilarity because these guys didn't care and had a good time.
I tell people all the time that Inside the NBA is the best studio sports show on television, and it's really ever. Because it's because of Chuck and Shaq, really.
Yep, ever.
Now, Kenny has his role. Kenny the Jet plays his role.
Yep.
Ernie is the perfect, you know, mediator / point guard to keep everybody in check the best he can.
That's great.
But and like I like it when they have other, you know, they have the other guy that's in there, or, you know, Candace Parker's in there sometimes.
Yeah.
But those four together are just fantastic.
Perfect.
Went down a rabbit hole. But who's coming up next?
Howard Johnson. Remember the 1986 New York Mets, lives here in Nashville. Hojo will join us. Baseball season just got underway, so let's walk down memory lane with Howard Johnson for a little bit. It's be a lot of fun. He's coming up next.
We will do that. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We are presented by Regal Realty Group, 1025-1063 The Game.